Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Chulin Daf Nun Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn to the upper part, the third line from the top of Daf Nun Vov, you will notice a new Mishnah. The Mishnah, the Elu Trefos Ba'oif. The Mishnah lists a list of examples of trefos that appear by ofos. Rashi points out that even though all of the trefos that you find by behemos apply also by ofos, in other words, we had at the very beginning of this perek a list of 18 trefos that you find by animals, they basically apply to birds as well. Rashi elaborates as to why there is a necessity to elaborate in this Mishnah regarding these specific trefos that are featured here. So we continue in the Mishnah, Nekuvas Aveshet, a hole in the trachea, Upsukas Hagargeres, a slit or a sliced trachea, Hiksa Chulda Al Roisha. If a chulda, the type of creature sometimes translated as a weasel, but for our purposes, we'll just leave it as chulda. If the chulda, now the word hiksa can mean hit, but in this case, Rashi points out that it means the chulda bit the bird on its head. Mokoim sha'oisa oisa trefa, if the positioning of the bite is at a point above on the head that it could make a trefos, that then we are choshesh, and we suspect that there was a piercing of the brain's membrane. That's called nekivas akrum. There are other parts on the head of the bird that are not opposite or over an area where there's brain membrane. That will be touched upon in the next Mishnah, which mentions a luksheros poif. So this point of hiksa chulda al rosha, and the Mishnah says mokum sha'oiso, so trefa, we will see in the Mishnah on Amud Beis a similar expression of hiksa chulda al rosha. However, there it says mokum she'eino osa oiso trefa. Continuing in the Mishnah, nikev ha'kurkavan, if the kurkavan, which is one of the digestive sacs that exist inside a bird. Kurkavan does not appear in a behemoth. So if the kurkavan is pierced, nikfu hadakin, or the intestines are pierced, noflo le'ur v'nichmu b'nei me'el, or if the bird, the chicken, fell into a fire and was of course taken out immediately, well, very quickly, but nichmu b'nei me'el, if the innards were affected. In other words, Rashi says, kovtsu machmasor, they contracted as a result of the exposure to the heat. And as a result of that, there was a change in color from their natural state. So that's the case of nichmeru b'neimel, im yerukim psulin, if the organs that are ordinarily red in color became yerukim. Now the word yorok in Talmudic literature has a possibility of meaning yellowed. So if we can just take the luxury of not translating the word yorok as we go on, realizing that regarding certain organs, it's their normal color, but in this particular case, we're referring to organs who are normally not yorok, but are normally reddish in color. And we'll see later in the Gemara that is a reference to the lave, the kurkavan, which are generally, and the kovade, which are generally red in color. So im yerukim, if as a result of the exposure to the heat of the fire they became yorok psulin, im adumim, if they remain their original color, ksherim. Now the Mishnah lists off 3 points which involve impact of the bird. Dorsa, a person trampled a bird, or torfa the kosel, or slammed it into a wall. Oy sheritsasa, ritsasasa behema, or an animal trampled on it. U mefarchesis, and after this impact, the bird continues to flutter around. Veshoasa meisleis, and it continued to live for 24 hours. Veshachta, and after that, you then shechted the bird, kshero. The suspicion here in these last three cases is a phenomenon that we discussed at length regarding the behemos called risuk evorim, so that if as a result of the impact it was nevertheless able to continue living for 24 hours, the shechita is a good shechita. In other words, there's no problem of treifas. The Gemara will tell us though that even so, one does have to run a check on the bird for fear that maybe as a result of the impact there was a break in the spinal cord. As we go on in the Gemara, we will investigate the topic that we feature on the outside margin called Nosei. Nosei is in our Gemara markings on the in the Shas Ozer, which you see on your screen, which is the cornerstone of Gemara markings. We feature topic headings and structural notes that we call Mivneh when necessary. In this case, under Nosei, the topic heading, we have written Bedikas Oif Shenoshchosei Chulda Al Roshai. The Gemara will be spending a bit of time concerning the checking of the head of a bird that was bitten by the Chulda. Rav Ushmuel Velevi, the Amri, they say, three great rabbinic figures, they say, that when a chulda bites a bird's head, machnis yodoi lifnim ubodek, you stick your hand or your finger into the bird's mouth and check out. And what we're talking about here is you stick your finger into its mouth and press upon its upper palate, and we attempt to take note im mevatspeit v'oile, if something starts to peer, to penetrate through, to like appear as a result of your pressing, you see something appearing above its head, meaning something's like squeezing through the skull and coming out. That's imevatsveits v'oila, trefa. When we would declare it a trefa, this is a sign that there was a penetration of the krum, of the membrane around the brain. The imlav, if after applying pressure, nevertheless, nothing appears above the head, kshera, it's okay. So this test, the Gemara now says, it seems to be dependent on one of two opinions. In other words, that it would this test could be relied upon only according to one of two opinions, as the Gemara explains. Ha nicha l'man d'omar ad deminkiv kroma tato. This test will work out according to the opinion that says that there is no trefus until the lower membrane as well is penetrated. We should point out that there are two membranes that are found in the skull surrounding the brain, an upper membrane and a lower membrane. So this test will be a good test according to the opinion that says that there is no trefus until the lower membrane as well is penetrated. Elo leman de omar, but according to the opinion that says inkiv ilo afagav de lo inkiv tato, that there is trefus even if the upper membrane alone has been penetrated. Namely, the lower membrane is still intact, but still you could have trefus simply because the upper membrane was penetrated. How is this test going to be reliable? Nechush dilma ilo inkiv tatal lo inkiv. Can I, after applying the pressure and nothing emerges, I could explain it as by saying that maybe the lower membrane is keeping the lower membrane that's intact is keeping the brain in place, and therefore nothing is popping out. However, there is trefus because the upper membrane alone has been penetrated, and according to this opinion, that does create trefus. So how can I rely on this test? So the Gemara answers, E Esau de Inkiv Ila, if it were so that the upper membrane was penetrated by the teeth of the chulda, Tato agavukhe mifkepoka, the lower membrane, which is a very delicate, thin type of membrane, it would not be sufficient to contain the brain matter after pressure is applied to the palate of the chicken. So this finger test will work according to both opinions regarding membrane penetration. Omar Ziri, Ein Bedika Lechulda, Lipnei Sheshinel Dakis. Ziri takes a different approach than we saw above in the name of Rav, Shmuel, and Levi, and says that there is no checking that's reliable when it comes to a biting of the chulda on the chicken's, on the bird's head, because the chulda's teeth are very thin, very fine. So the Gemara asks, V'chi shina dakos mayhavi, so what? It has fine teeth. Nevertheless, if I apply pressure to the palate, I can still reveal if something is emerging. Omar Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya clarifies why Ziri says what he said, that there's no bedika for a chulda bite. V'nei sheshinel dakois ve'akumois. Its teeth are angular. In other words, its teeth are very fine, but also angular, so that when its bite goes in, when its teeth sink into the head of the bird, they sink in at an angle. But my finger pressure is an upward pressure, so that the upward pressure won't sufficiently reveal if there has been any penetration. Even if there was penetration, it was at an angle, and hence the finger test won't successfully reveal that. Kisolik l'Nahardo'o, when Ziri went from Bovel to Nahardo'o, Sholach Lehu, he sent the following message. Dvorim shomarti lefnechem tos hein biodi. That which I said in front of you are mistaken. Baram kach omru mishmei de Rebbe Shimon ben Lokish. Thusly it was said in the name of Rebbe Shimon ben Lokish, otherwise known as Reish Lokish. Bodkim v'chuda biyad avolo b'masmer. The finger test is reliable, but use a finger and not the masmer. Masmer is a nail, basically it's a nail. Don't use the nail, meaning like a nail you hammer into a wall. We're not talking about a fingernail. We're talking about a standard iron nail. Says, now, what is that test? So Rashi explains that would be as follows. If you have a bird that was bitten by a chulda, you would open up its skull, you would open up carefully, and then take a nail and pass it along the area that the teeth sunk in, and if the nail, if the point of the nail gets caught, that's a sign that the membrane was penetrated. Anyway, that's what that test would be. However, Reish Lakish says don't use the masmer test. The reason for that is that there may be, by using the nail, and we're dealing with very delicate tissue matter, you might in fact make a hole when there wasn't any hole there to begin with, and as Rashi says, you're just causing a person a loss for nothing. That's Reish Lakish's opinion. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Omar, af b'masmer, you can use the nail test. And we're not choshesh that you might make a you might be actually making the hole. Ubetlukta de Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Nechemya. This follows or conforms to a machlokes between these two figures. Chad bodik biyoda, one checked using the finger test. The chad bodik b'machta, the other used a needle. The needle being similar to a masmer, to a nail. Man debodik biyoda, the one who checked with the finger test, and he says only the finger test. Omar lei leman debodik b'machto, he addressed the one that used the needle test. Ad mosai ato mechala mamonin she Yisrael. How long are you going to continue destroying the Jewish people's money or possessions? In other words, what's he trying to say? He says that you who are using the needle test, you are in effect making holes when there weren't any holes to begin with. Omar le man de bodek b'machto le man de bodek b'yoda. Now, the other one that used the needle test and not the finger test, he says, Ad mosai atom machil Yisrael nevelos. How long is it that you're going to feed the Jews nevelos? So the Gemara asks a technical question. Nevelos v'shchuto hi. How can you call these birds nevelos? We're talking about birds that experience shchita. And once a bird experiences shchita, proper slaughtering, there's no question here about the properness of the slaughtering itself. Proper slaughtering removes the nevela status. So he couldn't have been saying to the finger tester, how long is it that you're going to feed people nevelos when the issue of nevela doesn't even enter the picture? So what was he saying? Ela trefos. How long is it that you're going to be through your reliance on the finger test, you're allowing trefos to be eaten? Shemonikev krum shemoach. There is a fear that maybe the membrane was penetrated and the finger test isn't going to be sufficient, and therefore I use the and we have to add here that there is that suspicion that the bite was angular and very thin and angular, and it's not going to come out. It won't come out through the finger pressure, that is. So the Gemara, after having presented these two opinions, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah, but not saying who holds what, the Gemara above, where we had underlined the words chad and chad, were basically pronouns. One says, one checks with finger, the other one checks with needle, but we don't know who says what. At this point, the Gemara wants to conclude who says what. Testayim de Rabbi Yehuda, hu de bodek b'yoda. We should have mentioned, it's never too late though, that Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah were Tanoim. So the Tanaic source features their names, specifically Rabbi Yehuda. The Gemara wants to conclude that Testayim de Rabbi Yehuda, hu de bodek b'yoda. Let us conclude that Rabbi Yehuda is the one that relied on the finger test. Desanya, we have the following source in which Rabbi Yehuda's name is featured, and we also underline his name. Rabbi Shimon ben Elozer Omer Mishum Rabbi Yehuda, Boikin Lechulda Biyad, Avoloi B'masmer. We use the finger test, but not a nail. Nishbar Ho'etzem, Afopi Shelo Nikev, Krum Shel Moyach. This last phrase will be the subject of the Gemara's analysis a little bit later, so for the time being, though, we won't relate to it, and simply say here, Tistayim. Tistayim means, sure, you can conclude that Rabbi Yehuda was the one that relied on the finger test. Now, the Gemara focuses on this source that we just quoted. The Gemara asks, Ha gufa kasha. Before going on in the Gemara, let us take a look at the topic heading we have in the outside margin. Makoros shemashma mehem de'ein bedika menoshchei chulda. We will be exposed to sources along the way that seem to say that there is no checking for a bird who was bitten by a chulda. V'hainu, Kushya al hamatirin ayadei bedika. This eventually will be a question against those that did rely on checkings. We also have a numbering system in this piece of Gemara, and we will see that there is common to these three presentations as we go along in the Gemara. Questions are raised, or issues are raised, questions are raised, and there will be the same answer given to each one of these different issues or different cases. We indicate in the Mivne heading, in the outside margin, a triangle is featured, Tshuva HaChozeres Al Atzma, an answer, a response that is repeated. Now the Gemara. Ho Gufa Kashya. Amris, you said, Boikin L'chulda B'yad Avolo B'masmer, that there is a checking for a chulda bite, the finger test, not the nail test. Amo Islay B'dikusa. So you see from here that there is a checking. Checking can be done. B'hoder Tani, and then the same source says, Nishbaro Etzem, if the bone, the skull, is broken, Af Api Shalom Nikev Krum Shalmoach, even if we don't see that the membrane was broken, the mere fact that the skull was broken, we declare it a trefa. Alma lesle b'dikusa. It seems that just by virtue of the fact that the bone is broken, we are already suspecting, but that's it, just simply suspecting that the membrane was also penetrated. But by the fact that it says that Nishbar Etzem, the bone alone, was broken, and we already declared it a trefa and not subjected to any test, it must be because there is no test that you can rely upon. Therefore, this source would be inherently contradictory. Just to refine the problem, the fact that you have a chulda that bit a bird, and we would apply a test to it, that shows that the breaking of the bone in and of itself is not the cause of trephus. But we then see the source saying that nishbar ho'etzem, that itself creates trephus. That's a contradiction. So now the Gemara, after saying this, and that we read from the end of the second wide line, Almo les le b'nikusa, from the fact that it says the once the bone is broken, it is rendered a trefa, even if the krum is not pierced, that shows us that there is no b'dika. Seifo, the Gemara answers, Seifo ason le'oif shel mayim, hoyol v'ein loy krum. The Seifa, which speaks about the breaking of the bone alone causing trephus, that's talking about a bird that lives on the water. We'll call it a water bird. And the Gemara says, it doesn't have a membrane. So to that, the Gemara says, Ein lo krum? Can you possibly suggest that it doesn't have a membrane? That's simply not true. Ela hoyol ukrumoi rach. Since its krum is very soft. Once the bone breaks, the krum won't be effective at all. Even if it, technically speaking, wasn't penetrated, it won't hold up very long, and therefore, as far as we're concerned, the breaking of the bone of an oif shelmayim is tantamount to the penetration of the membrane. Omar le Rav Nachman le Rav Onan. This is a second issue that is in this same general topic, and as we said before, issues are going to be raised, and the same answer will be given. Hence, we are calling this number two. So Rav Nachman says to Rav Onan, Mor Omar, Shmuel Bodik B'yodr Machshir. Rav Nachman says to Rav Onan that you say that Shmuel relied on the finger check. Huna Chavrinoma Rav Bodik Biodu Machshir. And Rav Huna, our colleague says, told us that Rav relied on the finger check, and if as a result of the upward pressure placed on the palate of the bird nothing emerged, he would declare it kosher. Vahotani Levi, but we have a source that Levi teaches, Trefois Shemonu Chachomim Bebehemo, Kenegdon Ba'oif. The trephos that were listed off by animals apply to birds. Yeser alein oif, a bird has a type of trepho that you don't have by behemos, by animals. Nishbar ho'etzem, afal pi shelo nikev krum shel moyach. The breaking of the skull is alone, even if there was no even if there's no brain penetration. What this shows us is that there is no bedika, that you, the simple fact that the bone was broken, that's it. There's no, you don't run a finger check or a checking. Amar lei. So Rav Onan responds and says, Hahu, the source that you just read where it said Nishbara Etzem, and the impression was given that one doesn't run any checks, Hahu ba'oif shel mayim, that's a reference to a water bird. Hoyo v'ein loy krum, since it doesn't have a membrane, it's breaking, the breaking of its skull is enough to create trephus. So once again, the Gemara asks in wonderment, "Yin lo krum salkadaitach? Do you believe? Do you really think that there's no membrane? Of course there is. Elahoyel ukrumo rach. Rather, since it's krum, it's the membrane is very soft and delicate, it won't be effective. And by once the bone is itself broken, hahi tarnagolta dehavoi be rav chona. And here we have a third scenario, a third case. Where the Oif Shomayim answer will eventually appear. So there was a chicken that was in the home of Rav Chona, Shadre Lekamei de Rav Matona, and it was sent to Rav Matona for a legal ruling. And what was the case? Nishbar Ho'etzem Velonike Krum Shomoya Chavoy. It was a chicken whose skull was broken, but the membrane around its brain was not penetrated. The achshira, and he declared it to be kosher. Omar Lei, so he then asked, V'hotani Levi, but doesn't Levi have the following source, and this source we just saw before as well, Trefus Shemonu Chachomel B'mehema, Kenegdon Be'of, Trefus that appear by, that apply to animals, apply to birds as well. Yeser Alein Oif, Nishbar Etzem Apapishol Onikev Krum Shamoach. There's an additional trefus that appears by or applies to birds that doesn't apply to animals, and that's the case of the breaking of its skull even without membrane piercing. So we see from what we've dashed underlined that shviros etzem without nikev krum shomach is a problem, and the case that was sent before to Rav Matana was exactly that, was a nishbar etzem v'nikev krum shomach, and he declared it to be trefa. He declared to be kosher, and here in this source it's classified as a trefa. Omar lei, so he then answered, Hosam ba'oif shamayim, the source that maintains that the breaking of the skull is enough to create trefus, that's regarding water birds. Hoyol ve'ein loy krum. So once again, the Gemara asks, Ein lo krum salgadaitach? Do you really believe that? Elo emo hoyol ukrumo rach. The water bird, since the membrane that it does have is very delicate, it's very soft or thin, once the skull itself is broken, its membrane will not hold up, won't be effective. As we go on in the Gemara, we have some more types of checkings with regard to chulda bites. Rav Shizvi Bodik B'Shimsha, he would hold the skull up to the sun, and if he saw a spot of light, that would show that there was penetration. Rav Yemar Bodik B'Maya. Rashi explains, now Rashi for this is found on the top of Omid Beis. It says B'Maya, Moitzi Kol HaMoyach Min HaKrum Derech Piha. He would, through its mouth, he would extract the brain of the bird, kemo shehi yoredes v'chut hashedra, as the brain anyway descends into, it becomes a spinal cord. So there's a way to extract the brain from within its mouth. Our point being is we're keeping the skull and the membrane itself intact. Umemale hakrum mayim, and then the membrane is filled with water. V'imyotze derech hamaka, if there's dripping of water through where the teeth of the chulda penetrated, biyodua shenikev akrum, that would reveal that the krum had been penetrated. The third checking that is featured here, Rav Acha bar Yankov bodek the gila de chitza. He would use a stalk from the wheat grain. This type of checking is similar to what we learned before concerning the needle or the nail checking. This being a rather pointy substance, so running it along the open skull of the bird, if it gets caught, it would show that that there's a hole over there which is causing it to get caught, and hence a trefa. Omav shizvi, hani avozi didon. Avozim sometimes are translated as geese. Our avozim, ke'oif shomayim damyon. They'll have the same halacha as oif shomayim, as the water birds, and the nafkamina for us is the breaking of its skull alone would render it a trefa. Nafla le'ur, the Mishnah mentioned a bird that fell into a fire. If there was any change in the color of its inner organs, that would be a sign of trefus. Amar b'yochanan mishum Rav Yossi ben Yoshua. We should point out that we have assigned to this piece of Gemara a very brief title, and in the outside margin under the Nosei, we call this Nafla le'ur, the case of falling into the fire. So Rabbi Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Yossi ben Yoshua, Shiur Yerukasan Keshiur Nekuvasan. The Shiur of Yerukasan has to do with discoloring as a result of it being exposed to the fire. Again, we're talking about birds that fell live into a fire and then were quickly extricated and shechted, and we are trying to evaluate, did the fire have any influence or any negative influence on the well-being of the bird? So if the innards have become discolored, then there is a chance that we're going to have to declare it a trefa. So the Gemara says, Shi'ur Yerukasan, the amount of discoloration, Keshi'ur Nekuvasan. If we accept that discoloration creates trefus, the question is, how much? So the Gemara answers, the amount that would represent trefus in a piercing, in a hole in an organ, so too with regard to the discoloration. Ma nekuvason b'mashu, just like holes in certain organs create trefus, even if they're a mashu in size, a mashu meaning a minuscule size. Af yerukason b'mashu, so too the discoloration, even if it covers a very insignificant part of the organ, that is enough to make it a trefa. Balmine Rav Yosef Braid Rav Yeshua ben Levi, May Rav Yeshua ben Levi. The son of Rav Yeshua ben Levi asks his father, Horika Kaved Keneged Bnei Me'ayim Mahu. Let us say the liver changed color at a point adjacent to the intestines. Omar Le, trefa. Well, father says it's a trefa. Well, then the son asks, why do you declare a discoloration on the kaved a reason for trefa when the halacha is that even if the kaved is removed, in other words, the kaved is not there, it's not a trefa. So that the absence of a large portion of the liver does not make it into a trefa. So why should a discoloration, yes, make it into a trefa? The assumption right now is that as bad as discoloration might be, it can't be any more severe than missing, and if it's missing, it's still kosher, so the discoloration should also be kosher. Omar Rava, Kevon Shariko Koved Keneged Bnei Me'ayim Biodua Shinofla Le'ur Benechmeru Bnei Me'ayim Utrefa. Rava explains that since the kaved experienced discoloration, it's true that the discoloration of the kaved itself wouldn't necessarily render it a trefa. As we suggested, even if the kaved is totally missing, it's not necessarily a trefa. When we say totally, we mean practically totally missing. That doesn't make it a trefa. So what is the problem here? Since the kaved experienced a change in color, it's a sign that it fell into a fire. And as a result of having fallen to the fire, you can rest assured that the B'nai Me'ayim were affected. And the B'nai Me'ayim, if we translate that as intestines, those are affected by a Nekev Mashu. And like we saw before, the shiur of discoloration is like the shiur of Nekev. And if a Nekev Mashu will passel, so a discoloration in something like the intestines of a Mashu amount will also passel it. So as just to review the last point, Rava's explanation is, it's that not the discoloration of the COVID per se is the problem, but the discoloration of the COVID is an indication that it had fallen into a fire, and the fire had an effect on its inner organs, including the B'nai Me'ayim, which are sensitive to even a small amount of discoloration. We have a new marking here, and this draws our attention to the comment we have in the outside margin, the Nosei Mivneh. We see two diamonds as we look on in the Gemara, and we also see a double underlining. The two diamonds represent Shnei Maisim, and the double underline is a reference to the Tarnagolis, the chicken. In our note, we have written these two maisim, betarnegolim shenishlechu, that were sent lishoil alehem to inquire about them. Kanireh, we've written in parentheses shoifus elu naflulu. It appears that these chickens probably fell into a fire. Evorim shedimu o horiku, and we'll be discussing the change in colors concerning inner organs. So now, turning to the Gemara. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Havya Le Hahi Tarnagolis, he had a chicken, and as we said in our introduction, it appears that this chicken probably fell into a fire. Shadre Lekame de Rebbe Lozer HaKapor Beribi. And he sent to Rebbe Lozer HaKapor. Beribi is an expression often meaning a great man or the Godel Hador. Omar Le, Yerukin Havu, the Achshire. So he says that the dakim, the intestines, are yerukim, and declared it kosher. So we ask, v'anan t'nan yerukin psulin, but have we not learned that yerukin are pusel, are unfit? So we answer, lo omru yerukin psulin ela b'kurkavon b'leiv u'b'kaved. Something that's yorok is a problem only if that's a change from its normal color. So the kurkavon, lev, and kaved, these three organs are normally red. And if they turn out, as a result of being exposed to the fire, to be yerukin, that's a sign of a problem. However, the dakin are normally yerukin. Therefore, the fact that the chicken had fallen into the fire doesn't necessarily indicate that there is a ruination, being that the dakin did not change color, so we see that the fire did not have any impact on the well-being of the bird. Tanya Nami Hochi. The Brisa supports our answer that says, Be'elu b'nei me'ayim omru, regarding the following innards, do we say that yerukin is psulim, b'kurkavon, b'leiv, u'b'kavei. Only with regard to those organs do we say that yerukin represents a problem, and the case that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi had sent for a query indicated dakim that were yerukin. That's the normal color that dakim have. Another case, Rabbi Yitzchok bar Yosef, Havilei Hahu Tarnagolta, Shadre Lekamei de Rabbi Avo, he had a case of a chicken that needed, a psak needed a legal ruling, V'yomalei Adumen Havu V'tarfa. And Rabbi Avo declared that there's the organs are red, the dakim are red, and therefore we are to declare it a trefa.
Well, we ask v'anan t'nan, but our Mishnah said adumim k'sherim, that if they're red, it's kosher. Amale, so he answered, adumim shehoriku, v'yerukin shedimu shreifa. If something is normally red and it turned yoroik, or something is normally yorok and it turned red, that is reason for treifa. In our case, we have something that was adumim, and specifically the dakin, and they were adumim. They are not normally adumim. They are normally yerukin, and therefore they come under the rule that we just read, yerukin shedimu. That's a reason for treifas. Lo amru adumim ksherim, ela belev bekurkavanu bekoved. The idea or the rule that adumim are kosher, that's only with regard to lev, kurkavan, and koved, those three types of organs, not the dakin. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a topic heading and a structural note that we want to note in the outside margin. We see the volcano shape or trapezoid form. Adumim, that either shehoriku or shelohoriku. There are two cases that you'll see in the Gemara within these markings, and the shulchan, and the eventually the organs are boiled up, and we will see what effect the boiling has on it color wise and as far as legal results. The Gemara. Omar of Shmuel bar Chiya, Omar Rebbe Moni. Adumim shehoriku. If you have organs that are normally red, and they had turned yorok as a result of the fire experience, and then you shechted the bird and took and after it fell into the fire, you shechted the bird. Notice the discoloration of these organs. The shulkan the chozer v'dimu. He then boiled them up. Let's say adumim includes, as we said, the lev, kurkuvan, and koved. So he boiled up these organs, and they after the boiling, they turned red again. So he rules ksherin. The bird is kosher. My taima. Why is it kosher? After all, it when you opened up the bird before cooking it, it had appeared yorok. Answer: kutra ayel behu. The reason for the yorok look was only because of, we'll call it some type of kutra, smoke. Smoke had entered it. In other words, there was some kind of smoking of the organs, but that is not enough to render it a trefa. So as a result of the boiling, apparently the boiling may have cleansed the smoke accumulation there and restored it to its original color. Omar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchok, af anan Nomar, we too will make a comment on this topic. Adumim shelohoriku. Organs that are normally red, in fact, remained red. But what happened? The shulkan vahoriku, they were then boiled up, and we noticed the color change after the boiling. Trefa. The fact that it turned yorok after the boiling is reason enough for us to declare it trefa. My taima. Igloi basayu. The boiling revealed basayu, its problem. Omer avashi, hilkoch, lo lecho inish elo b'shalka. As a result of what we just said, Ravashi tells us that one is not allowed to eat birds that fell into the fire other than through boiling. You have to boil them. The boiling could potentially reveal a problem that you wouldn't otherwise notice, because as we just saw, the organs appeared to have their normal color. Only as a result of the boiling was their problem revealed. So therefore Ravashi says, as a preemptive measure, any time you have birds that have fallen into fires, you have to boil them, boil their organs. Veloi hi. The Gemara though rejects Ravashi and says, Achzuki reusa lo machzikinon. We don't assume problems. In other words, if you see a proper color, we assume it to be kosher. We don't look for problems, so to speak. Dorso, the torfo, bakoiso, and the Mishnah went on to say, b'shasam eis la'eis, ksheira. if after impact the bird continued to survive for 24 hours and then you slaughtered it, it's okay. You don't have to concern yourself or suspect risuk evorim. Om Rav Elozer ben Antignus, Mishum Rav Elozer ben Rabbi Yonai. Achas zu v'achas zu. Any of these cases of impact, even though the animal lasted 24 hours, Sricha Badika, the animal nevertheless must be subject to a checking. And we're checking here for the breaking of the spinal cord. The Mishnah. This Mishnah has a list of Elu Ksheros Ba'if. The Elu Ksheros Ba'if, Nikfa HaGargeras, Oy Shenistika, if the Gargeras, the trachea, is penetrated or cracked, that does not ruin it, per se. Hiksa Chulda Al Rosh HaMokam She'eno, Osa Osa Trefa, it was bitten by a Chulda at a point on its head that is not opposite brain membrane. So the mere biting itself does not make it into a trefa. Nikev hazefek. The zefek is another one of the digestive organs of a bird if it got a hole in it. Rebbe Omer, afilu nital. Rebbe says even if the zefek is missing entirely, the bird is not a trefa. Yotsu b'nei me'av lo nikvu. If the intestines came out of the bird while it's alive, but they were not penetrated, there were no holes in the intestines. Nishtabru gapel, where the bones of its wings broke. Nishtabru ragleha, or the bird's legs broke. Nimritu kanofeha. Rashi explains, Nimritu kanofeha, hainu noitzu gedoyla, the large feathers, sha'al kol gufa, that the kanofeha is in this context a reference to the large feathers. Rashi goes on to say, he quotes a French word that's similar to a word in English, plumes, the plume of a bird as a reference to feathers. Noitza, there's another expression also referring to feathers, and it's called noitza, hi hadaka. Those are the fine feathers, sometimes maybe referred to as down. Hasmucha lebosar, it's very, that's much closer that's close to the bird's flesh or skin. She'ein lo konim, it doesn't have like a central stem to it that the large feathers had. So the Mishnah goes on after saying Nimritu Kenofel, if it's missing the large feathers, Rebuta Omer im Nitlo Hanotza Psula. Rebuta says if it's missing the down, the small feathers, that would be a reason for passeling the bird, for rendering, causing to say it's unacceptable. The Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Rabbi Simoi Rabbi Tzadok Shalchu LaAbir Shana Balud. LaAbir Shana is the calculations that are made to determine whether a year needs to have an added month month added to it. So they went Shalchu LaAbir Shana Balud. They went to the town of Lud for making these calculations. B'Shavsu BaOinoi. Oino is another place, and they spent Shabbos in Ono. Behoru betirpachas kerebi bezefek. And when they were there, they issued a legal ruling. As the source says, betirpachas kerebi bezefek. About this is an unclear comment, and the Gemara will now ask, what happened? Ibayalaho. Maybe before we learn the Gemara itself, we should just point out that the word tirpachas is a reference to the the reproductive organs of the animal. So they issued a ruling concerning the uterus, like Rebbe rules regarding the zefek. So what is going on? So there are two possibilities, and we'll read the Gemara to learn what the two possibilities are. Ibayalaho, horu b'tirpachas l'isura, and Karebi Bezefek Latera. Were there two separate rulings that they issued? One concern the tirpachas, namely that if an animal is missing its uterus, that is osir, the animal is forbidden. And a second ruling, they ruled like Rebbe regarding the zefek, namely that even if a zefek is completely missing from a bird, it's kosher. Oy Dilma, or possibly what happened there in the Tanaic source, horu b'tirpachas le'teira k'rebi b'zefek. They had only one ruling that they mentioned, and that was that they ruled a leniency with regard to tirpachas. A missing uterus is like a missing zefek according to Rebbe. In other words, they are not ruling at all concerning zefek. They're using that simply as an analogy. They're borrowing the idea of Rebbe's psak by zefek, whereby he said a missing zefek is still kosher, the bird is still kosher. So they ruled a missing uterus is kosher, just like Rebbe said, a missing zefek is kosher. However, avol k'rebi b'zefek lo sfira lahu, but as far as their opinion regarding zefek, they don't necessarily hold like Rebbe regarding a missing zefek. Teku, so this remains unresolved. Once again, as far as what Rebbe Simoin, Rebbe Tzadok ruled in Ono, remains unclear. Omar Rava b'Tamer b'Shuben Levi, Gagoi shel zefek nidoin keveshet. The roof of the zefek organ is treated legally like the veshet, which means even a minor hole, a nekev mashu, just like a nekev mashu in the veshet, in the esophagus, creates trephus, so too the nekev mashu in the gagoi shel zefek. Hecha, well, where is that? We know where the zefek is in a bird, but where is the gagoi shel zefek? Omar Rav Bevai Bar Abaye, kol shenimtach imoi. If you stretch the esophagus, or let's say you put tension on the esophagus, which is connected to the zefek, the part of the zefek that is elastic and stretches together with the veshet, that is gagoi shel zefek, and it's treated like the veshet with regards to nekev mashehu. Yotsu b'nei me'eha. Our Mishnah spoke about a bird whose innards came out of its body. And came out, meaning they remained attached, but let's say penetrated, came through its belly. Omar Rebbe Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchok, loy shonu elo shelo hipech bohen. The bird is said to be kosher, provided that the innards that came out were not flipped over. Avo hipech bohen trefa. However, if after the innards came out, someone came along and flipped them around or changed their position, that would cause trefus. Dichtiv, hu ascha vayechonenecha. This is a pasuk in Dvarim. Malamed shebora kodesh boruchu konenius v'adam. This shows us that the Almighty created konenius. Konenius is from the word cane. Cane is a base. That an item has a base, that is its bottom, and the rest of it is its top. So the idea is that things that have a base to it, the base must remain at the bottom. She'im nefach achas mehen eino yochol lichyos. If one of them got flipped around, the animal or the person cannot continue living. Therefore, in the case of the bird whose innards came out, we have to be careful that we don't change the position of those innards by flipping them around. Tanya, we have a Tanaic source, Hoyer Rabbi Meir Omer, who ascha vayerchonenechohi, darshans the same pasuk, but regarding something totally unrelated. From this pasuk, he derives the following. Krocha dekula bay. Krach is a city. Here he's referring to the Jewish people as a community, that it contains all of its different forms of leadership. Mimenu Kohanov, Mimenu Neviov, Mimenu Sorov, Mimenu Melochov. From within the Jewish people come its Kohanim, come its prophets, its ministers, and its kings. Shenemar Mimenu Pono Mimenu Yosev.
We continue now with an issue or a case, a story of a rather amazing story, one of the Shas unforgettables. Hahu Armo, there was a Gentile, the Chazi Elohu Gavro de Nofal Mi Igro La'ara. And he noticed that that someone had fallen from a roof, an igro, to the ground, and Pok A Karse Vinofuk Mayine. And the fall victim's belly split open and his intestines came out. The man wasn't dead, but he was in pretty bad shape. Asye Libre, so this goy, this Gentile, brought the son of the fall victim, brought him to the site, to where his father was lying. Bishachte kamei ba'achuzas einayim. And this goy did a magic trick. Achuzas einayim is something that creates an appearance. People who see, they'll think something took place when in actuality it did not take place, which we would call a magic trick. What did he do? Shachte kamei means he made it look as if he slaughtered this son, the son of the fall victim. So what do we have here? We have a father who's lying in very bad shape, and he sees someone slaughtering or killing his son. Well, the father saw this and thought that this guy was killing his son. Ingid the isnach, that created a great sense of anguish, and so the person gave a big sigh or grunt and sigh. We'll call it a heave on his organs. This anguish and maybe gasping of the father upon seeing his son, what he thought was killed in front of him, he thereby, in effect, sucked in his intestines, the chayte the karse, and they then sewed up his belly. The whole point of this story, Rashi explains at the top, v'achuzas einayim, v'lo nogabo, v'lo hiziko, the magician here didn't touch the sun, he didn't cause any damage, elosh denitme le'oviv ki'ilu nishchat, and it only created an appearance to the father as if he was being killed. Now, why did he do all of this? Now, he knew that the father would gasp upon seeing his son being killed. The magician here didn't want to touch the intestines of the fall victim in accordance to what we just learned in the sugya, so that he wouldn't come to possibly repositioning them or flipping them around, which would cause a fatality. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.